Good morning. I'm so happy to be back. It was really cool to hear you guys singing my song, No One Is Greater. I was like, they remember it, and you guys were really singing it out. A plus. I always count it a special privilege to be able to share the word anywhere I am. But as was already said, there's a very unique relationship that God forged with me and my group and you. And I have said it before, but I will say it again. I want to thank you, because when you make a choice to do some things that a lot of people that look like a lot of you aren't doing, it can be a high price. There are many churches that are very uncomfortable to talk about race issues. And not just, you know, we all are uncomfortable with anything related to God. Most stuff, you know, it's just not like, oh, I mean, that hymn we just sang, and now I'm happy all the day. Well, maybe. You know, I mean, some days I'm happy about the cross, and some days I'm not happy about the cross. Because when I look at the cross, I have to choose which side I want to be on. I have to choose that this Jesus who's dying, who was an innocent man, who died a horrible death, horrible because he was dying for horrible sins, I have to choose that that is for me. So I have to acknowledge that I'm a sinner, and that if there was no one else but me on this earth, that my sins merited that type of punishment. It's very insulting. It is. It's very insulting to your pride if you feel I'm a good person. I wasn't that bad. All of that he went through? No, not all of that. Well, I kept living and I realized, yes, I am, the more I got to see my heart. But in the same vein, I have to choose that cross to say that was enough. That punishment was enough for everyone who's ever done anything to me. Whether it was a little kid in school who bullied you, or whether it was a parent who walked out on you, whether it was a spouse that abused you. That's so crazy. But that's what the cross is. It's finished. It was finished. Jesus finished all of it. The acknowledgement, the punishment, and the resurrection. So I appreciate how you have embraced the cross. Because we can't embrace the cross and embrace pride and arrogance at the same time. One has to let go. I appreciate you doing the hard things, deciding, like, maybe there is more to this stuff. You know, maybe we really can live out what Jesus prayed, that we would be one. Maybe we really can. Not a superficial, like, oh, I love you. I have black friends. My neighbor's Hispanic. I know an Asian person. I work with them. Maybe we really can be one. Maybe we can get down and dirty and insult each other and then forgive and then insult each other right again 2 minutes later and forgive again. It's like marriage. Amen, married people. Come on now. Yes, right? We keep on loving. I was telling somebody that the other day. We were talking about marriage. And I said, you know, the key, she was admiring as I was talking about Joe. And I said, wait, but back it up. Don't put us on a pedestal. I said, the key is that we just keep choosing. Every day, we just choose to love. I don't always feel it. I'm totally in love with my husband. Don't get it twisted. But there's sometimes it gets on my nerves, right? And I know there's sometimes I get on his nerves because I can be a bit much. But we keep choosing. We keep choosing to forgive, and we keep choosing the cross. So that's why I sang at the cross. Today's message, we're going to look at a lot of the verses that are in the lectionary where you fall today. It's called When Faith Rests on God's Power. When faith rests on God's power. So I have a question, and this might not apply to you. It sort of does to me. A few questions. In this season of your life, would you say, or even today maybe, are you feeling weak? Are you feeling impotent? You feel like a failure? You feel incompetent? For whatever reason, are you feeling any of these things? I am. Well, if you are, I want to admonish you to not push past these feelings. Don't push past this feeling. Why? It may be the Spirit of God drawing you to focus on Jesus in a fresh, new way. You know, as a, I was going to say as a culture, there are other cultures, not just American culture, but many times when we are feeling weak or feeling, you know, like, oh man, I'm just such a failure, we'll have a response from someone else that says, well, no, you're not that bad. You're doing a great job, because they're trying to lift us up, right? Or maybe you're like me and that inner response is, I project. So maybe I'm feeling badly about the way something turned out, but then I talk about the people involved. And, you know, they did this, and I can't believe, oh, they were late getting me that. And it's not till a little later that I go, what are you doing, Diane? What you're doing is trying to stop feeling so crappy, and you're really boosting yourself up, you know? So we kind of talk about somebody else, and now we're like, yeah, right, you know? And if they would have just done that, I could have done better. Well, well, God's been knocking on my door saying, I don't want you to negate these feelings. Don't just, well, no, the Lord is my strength and I'm great and I, but whatever, no. Be here if you're in this place with me. It might not be everybody, but if you're feeling any of these things in this season of your life, just maybe sit with them for a minute. At 3 points that I want to focus on in this sermon, when faith rests on God's power. One, our greatest efforts are still not good enough. Can we say that together? Our greatest efforts. And you kind of have to say it like I would say, are still not good enough. Are still not good. There you go. Come on now. You got to shake your head like that. The second one, God's right here in the midst of all our junk. Isn't that a mess? Come on, say it together. God's right here in the midst. That really defies a whole lot of people's notions of God. They feel like, you know, I got a whole bunch of mess, so I'm not going to come to church. I got to get my life together. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. I've got somebody I'm living with, and I know God doesn't like this. So as soon as I get this together, I'm going to come back. People would say that, right? Maybe some of us might be feeling that. Maybe it's nothing that big, but you just feel like, oh, I just got to get, you know, somebody's asked me to do a leadership thing, but, you know, I'm not really that. Oh, I got to, as soon as I get it together, God's right there, you guys. Number three, we must rest in God being strong enough to handle our junk and know what? That his power is not hindered by our shortcomings. Is that good news? What you say? Wow, coming from a perfectionist background like me, that is amazing. It's astounding. It's just non-conventional. It blows my mind. I want you to read three together. We must. So if we're feeling weak and we're feeling impotent and like a failure, the truth is we're all that. And that's okay. And it's not okay in a sense of,
it's okay, now get it together, because God's going to help you get it together. Not that he won't work on us, not that he isn't, but it's okay in the sense that it does not disqualify you. Even the announcement that we heard just a minute ago, I didn't even know it was going to be made, but the announcement about this new group. Some of you, I know, just because I know in my spirit, that a little thing inside you is like, ooh, that'd be interesting. But there's a part of you that's like, no, you know what, I can't, I don't, maybe I still feel this way about this and that way about that. And I don't know if I can, I can't handle that. Just show up. Just show up. Let's look at a scripture. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures today, so I know that our wonderful team has put them on the screen for us. 1 Corinthians is going to be the first one. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 2 and 5. So 1 Corinthians, we're going from the first chapter, 26th verse, all the way to the second chapter and the fifth verse. Some of this is going back to some scriptures that I think was just last Sunday, right, that Richard preached on. Was that right? It was two Sundays ago, sorry. So it'll be a little bit of a review, and he did such a really, really wonderful background and history of the context of the scripture. So I won't go into that. Listen to the, go back and listen to that. Take a good look, friends. This is the Message version. At who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Is that insulting? Can the word just insult you? I'm just saying. You know, the word can just really, I'm sorry. Okay. I don't see many of the brightest and best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies, that's good news, I'm up in there, to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. Is that obvious? That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. That's why we have the saying, if you're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. Going on to the next chapter, it says, you'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's master stroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. And here's our focus verse, verse 2. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. Everybody say plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. Two things. Focusing on Jesus and who he is, and then Jesus and what he did in terms of him being crucified. Listen, everything in you, when we talked about it at the beginning, you know, maybe you're feeling weak or whatever and all of that stuff. Everything in you is draining so you can focus totally on Jesus. So if you are in this place, and I have been there at different levels, I'm in there now, but I've been there at levels where it's really intense, where I'm really overwhelmed and just feel like, why am I alive? Or other times when it's just, what am I doing? I am just, how could I be leading anybody? I've not been in the Word. I've not been praying. I just went off on this person and just flipped me off on the freeway. I was trying to, you know, can I stay real? This, I know I can. Y'all are real people, all right? This guy was driving one time. You know, L.A. drivers can really make you lose your religion. And I don't know what happened. I guess my testosterone levels had gotten high because, you know, I'm getting older. And he was just not driving nicely. And we got up to this light, and I don't know what happened, y'all, but we were almost racing. And I was trying to, because he had cut me off, and I was like, uh-uh, Jack, uh-uh. I was like, and he's driving, and I just, I don't know what happened. Something came and took over me. Well, just before I really rammed his car, I didn't. But I was really close to, and Jesus said, if you think it, you've done it. So let's just say I rammed his car and did a few other things after I jerked him out the car and beat him up. I didn't do that, but that was in my heart, okay? It was in my heart. It was. I'm confessing. But I'm just saying, after that, when I came to myself, I said, what are you doing, crazy woman? You could have gone to jail. Thank God he turned down this side street really quickly. But here's my point. My point is, you know, it's just you can be in a place where you say, what am I doing? You know, who am I, really a Christian? Right? I know I'm the only one, like, is it? Nobody else is. Okay, because some of y'all give me a look like, we're going to pray for you, Dr. D. Wait a minute. Please do. But in all seriousness, just know that we have two things to focus on, Jesus and who he is, and how who he is makes our circumstances change. And Jesus, what he did, being crucified in particular. So our entire life, all of what we're dealing with, all of those things that make us feel weak or impotent or like we are just nothing, all of those things, those failures, those struggles, we can put those against the backdrop of Jesus, against the backdrop of the crucifixion, and it changes everything. Example. Let's say a boss that's just really horrible to you, right? It's just not treating you right. You're not getting what you deserve. So when it's against, when you put that, as bad as that is, as unfair as that is, against the backdrop of the character of Jesus, you know that saying years ago when they did What Would Jesus Do and had the bracelets and all that, some of y'all too young to know that, but anyway, it helped us to think, okay, in that context, what would Jesus do? Who is Jesus in that? Well, Jesus would probably just realize that person is just a human being, and people who abuse or people who take advantage of you are broken usually themselves, right? So he would allow himself to see that person for who he or she is. So we put everything against the backdrop of that. Like Paul is saying in this, I didn't say anything to y'all. I just put everything else aside. All I was thinking of is who Jesus is and then what he did. So then how does that same scenario get tweaked when we put it against the backdrop of the crucifixion? Well, that boss's sins, whether she acknowledges Jesus or not, he still died for her sins. Does that make sense? Who Jesus is, what does it look like when you put what you're dealing with and what you're feeling against the backdrop of who he is? So let me, these three points, our greatest efforts are still not good enough. Number two, God's right here in the midst of all our junk. And number three, we must rest in God being strong enough to handle our junk and know that his power is not hindered by our shortcomings. Let's just start with the first one. Our greatest efforts are still not good enough. So what does that mean? Does that mean like, well, then why do I try? If my goodness is not good enough to be, you know, to get good grades from God, like I do something really good and he's like, oh, I love her a little more today. Oh, Dr. D's up preaching. She gets 5 points today. She's not on the freeway anymore. She's in good with us. Come on, angels, go give her some blessings. Right? She prayed for somebody today. She forgave somebody today. Oh, that's my good daughter. Are you being good today? You know how sometimes parents, are you going to be a good girl? Oh, you're naughty. It's clothed with shame. So if our greatest efforts are still not good enough, does that mean that God doesn't want us to try? Are we supposed to just sit back and just, well, you know, I'm not even going to try to be nice. I'm not even going to try to be a Christian. Why be? He's saying it's not good enough. No, that's not the case. That's not it. It's that our efforts, when they are in our own flesh, when it's our efforts alone without the understanding that we cannot do it out of fleshly desires, that is what is not good enough. So the cross, so Jesus living and breathing and moving inside of us allows us to have relationship with the Father. And that relationship is a result of Jesus' death on the cross, period. It's not because I'm really good, because I'm really nice, because I have this cute little shawl on today, you know. It's none of that. So our greatest efforts are not good enough, but God does want us to still show up. And he wants us to still try. And like a loving parent who does not shame you when you do something wrong, he's going, I just love my kids. Man, she failed so bad today. Man, he's dealing with that again. I just wish he would talk to me because I really want to help him. God's efforts in us are great. Ours alone might not be good enough. It's not that good behavior doesn't benefit us. It does. But it happens in that good behavior, happens in conjunction with God's work on us and God's work in us. And then when that's the case, when we're living that way, then we realize that we are saved by grace only. We're not saved. We don't stay saved. We're not great and get blessed just because or because of our good works. Look at Deuteronomy. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 30 and the sixth verse. In the New Living Translation, it says this, Deuteronomy 30 and 6. The Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of all your descendants so that you will love him with all your heart and soul, and so you may live. So God wants to do a transformation, right? The same verse in the message, not just the first part of it, says God, your God, will cut away, I love this, will cut away what? The thick calluses on your heart. My goodness, isn't that all right? So don't worry about when you're struggling and you're feeling like you're failing, you keep doing the same thing. Well, God is going to do a work in us when we come to him. And that's the good news of the gospel. Since God, therefore, since he's doing surgery on us, then let's skip down to the bottom a few verses later, Deuteronomy 30, 15 and 16. It says, now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. Let me pause for a second. What is life? Life is in Christ. Life is understanding that Jesus came so we might live and have that life more abundantly. We're not under this weight of our own sin. So I give you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. We walk in his ways because he's in us, you guys. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. So what do? We allow God to do the heart surgery that we need. We allow God to transform us, and it's because of his work that we then start to look like Jesus. That second point that I said earlier, God's right here in the midst of all our junk, smiling at us, loving us fully. He's smiling at you, loving you fully, like totally, right now, right now. God can't love you any more than he loves you right now because he already loves you to the max. Romans 8, one of my favorite scriptures. This is not in the one of the scriptures that are part of the lectionary today, but had to add this. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation. Everybody say no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're feeling condemned, that's not God. Conviction is different. Condemnation is when it's that, you know, attacking who you are as an individual. You're horrible. You're no good. You're this, that, and the other. That's not God. Now, I said at the beginning, when you're feeling weak and impotent, that's different than saying you intrinsically, you are terrible. You're nothing. You're condemned to hell because just you're who you are. Now, there's conviction when we do something wrong. We're like, uh-oh, that wasn't right. Mm-mm. Let me change. I said something to that person. I need to fix that. That's different. Does that make sense? The difference? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Right? What does that mean? So if we're walking according to the flesh, it's like I was saying earlier. I, in my flesh, I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to show that I am this perfect Christian. But that never works. Eventually, you're like, because the imperfections come out, right? And so as long as I'm walking in the flesh, then I'm going to feel condemned because there's no good thing in the flesh, the Bible says. But according to the Spirit, so we walk in the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And going on, I want to read more of this in the message. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into what? Say it with me. Christ's being here for us no longer have to live, keep reading, under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. My goodness, is that a word? Wow. The latter part of that same chapter. For I am persuaded that neither life, death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, that includes other people, your enemies, your frenemies, family, people who don't like the way you look, people who don't like you because you're Christian, your neighbors, no other created thing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So if you're not feeling Jesus's love today, it's not anybody else's fault. Now, I don't say that to turn around and say it's your fault, but I'm just saying you can't blame anybody else because we all have equal access to be fully loved by Jesus. So what do you do? Just ask. Just, Lord, I need to know your love more. Just help me. You don't have to muster it up. God loves me. 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 Yeah, well, sometimes that doesn't work for people. I remember being in a Bible study one time. I was helping. It was team teaching. And we were saying something about, you know, the Father of God loves you, da 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 da. And this one young lady, well, she wasn't that young, and she was grown woman. She just lifted her hand just with this really, really angry look on her face. She said, "What is it? Why are you guys talking about Father? I hate my father, and my father hated me. And every time you say that, that just makes me just cringe. I just hate that." And then she just spewed out all of this anger, and we were so grateful because we helped, you know, that helped us to understand where she was. But I just didn't have that experience in life. This was many, many years ago. And so I just was like, wow. So she was like, if you can just say anything about God other than Father, I'm okay. But if you keep talking like that, I have to leave. I thought, wow. When we don't experience God's love, it's just because we haven't come there. Because nothing is separating you but us. It might be our history. It might be like the pain. So, you know, later we talked kind of one-on-one about us asking God to help her separate who her father was and who God is, you know. God's right here. He's right here. Number three, we can rest in God being strong enough to handle our junk. I'm so happy about that. We can rest in God being strong enough to handle our junk, and his power is not hindered by our shortcomings or by our weaknesses. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 12:9. And this is Paul talking, and he is saying what happened, what God said to him when he was saying, Lord, 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 take this thing from me, take this thing from me, take this. It was called a thorn in the flesh, and different theologians have different summations of what they think it is. But you just insert yourself. Whatever the thing is, you're just like, oh, Lord, I've been praying about this. I'm tired of praying about this. But God told him, basically, no, I'm not going to take it away. God said, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What does that mean, right? Grace is God's, what is it? God's unmerited favor, yes. So the favor that God has on my life is enough for me to handle whatever this thing is that God won't take away. It's sufficient. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. So at the beginning when I was saying, if you're feeling weak, if that's where you are, then guess what? Good news. It means God's ready to show up. We're in the place where God is ready to show up. I have been, I'm 55. I have to say that. You know what? I got to tell you something funny. I'll get back there. I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, you guys. And I was saying, oh, happy birthday. He had just celebrated 50. I said, welcome to the 50s. Yeah, he said, I said, yeah, I'm 52. And I'm just talking. He said, you don't even look 52. I said, oh, thanks. How about it was 2 days later? I said, girl, you ain't 52 no more. Oh, 55. Okay, so I'm just saying. Anyway, so I'm 55. I don't know, like, what happened. I'm totally kidding. I'm not kidding. I wasn't trying to lie or anything. I was just like, why did you say you're 52? I'm 55. So anyway, so at 55, I never, if somebody would have told me 25 years ago when we met, or even 30 years ago, that I would still be at a place where I was praying for some things to happen, some things that I've been wanting to do, you know, some dreams or some visions, that I'd still be waiting for them. I'd be like, get behind me, Satan. That is not the Lord. By 30, I'm going to have this, and by 35, this, and that, you know, my American dream and all that. And I remember the other day, it's really about a year or two ago, saying, God, why'd you have to wait till now? I mean, you know, I can't, like, spring out the bed like I used to. I can, but I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. Give me a second. And my husband and I, sometimes he's like, wait a minute, hold on. And I'm like, okay, are you good? Okay, wait, no, I'm not good. Give me. So, And I just sometimes get a little mad at God. You know, I've gotten over it now because of what I'm about to tell you. But, and then I was looking in the mirror and I'm going, wow, now that's a new wrinkle. Okay, I didn't see that. Let me put some little highlighter on that side and, you know, and hope there's some more gray hair. Screech, 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 screech. You know, the spray color. I'm just being real. I'm telling you, I'm being real. I'm just being real. But you know what God told me? And there's a scripture to support it. I'm not going to give that to you. But he said, many times I wait till there's nothing in you that you can boast about. You can't boast about it. So God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. Please don't discount the work that God is doing right now in somebody who's here this morning who is feeling very weak. You are feeling disqualified because of whatever is making you weak. It might be physically, it might be age You know, it might be intellectually. Maybe your mind is not where you think it should be, or you feel like you're not smart enough. Whatever it is, looks, money, all those things. In our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. It's made perfect. It is made perfect. And that's just the best news. If we allow ourselves to just be in those places, you'll see God in a different way. The scripture continues to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So just boast about your weaknesses. So I'm flaunting my little wrinkle right here and my gray right there. And when I have to go, like, let me put a little ointment right here. Okay, I'm good now. I can. So we boast about them because it's like, yep, God's about to use me. God's going to use me. Isn't that cool? God wants to use us. All this agony that we're dealing with, and again, this might not be for everybody, but this is the people who said yes at the beginning to any of those questions that I asked. God wants to use you. All this agony that you're going through is not just for your sake. So it is for your sake. It is for my sake that I struggle because he's cleaning things out of me, right? But it's not just about that. It's also because he wants to show up in us, through us, for others. You know, light passes through objects, right? And whether or not it can pass through an object depends on the material of that object. Transparent materials allow rays of light to pass through. So like the scripture we just talked about saying, I boast in my weaknesses, that's somebody being really transparent. That's not really popular. Some people don't like that. Like, oh, don't say that you're weak. Mm-mm. Well, Matthew 5, 14 and 16, Jesus says, you are the light, I'm in the Amplified version, you are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Therefore, what are we going to do? Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. How do you do that? Because you're perfect? Because there's no weakness? Of course not. We do it because we're transparent. We're boasting about our weaknesses. And people go like, well, I know she's jacked up because she was telling me about that the other day. But look at all these great things she's doing. Look how successful he is in his business. Now, please hear me. I am not saying that there should be nothing great about you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying if you've achieved things in the natural realm that that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that we look at the whole picture of who we are, and however great people see you, I'll use myself, however great people see me when I'm up performing and all that stuff, there is a backstory. That's just all I'm trying to say. And it's because of Christ that I am who I am. Be transparent. Let it be known that you rest on God's power. Open yourself up fully to God and watch him work. This last scripture, Matthew 5:14, the message. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Is that the coolest thing? Bringing out the God colors in the world. How do you do that? When you go into settings because God is in you, and when you connect with people, haven't you ever done something and people say, well, I just feel so much better. They actually feel better about themselves because they understand God's presence in their midst. It's the God colors in the world. Does that make sense? I love that. I want us to, this last passage, Psalm 119, I want this, I'm going to ask you to read it. And I am, hold on one second. Let me make sure I'm doing this right. Yes, 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 yes. Yep. So I want us to read this together. And as you're reading it, I'm going to transition to the piano and do another song. I just can't admonish you enough, though, to understand how great God is and how he wants that greatness to be manifested in you, in your weak, powerless feeling, broken self. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Let's read Psalm 119, 1 through 8 in the Message. Is that up? Yes, it is. Go for it.